But this Sunday, you'll see who comes for the coffee and who comes for the coffee. So, Baruch Hashem, we have a nice turnout for kindness. And I would like to address an issue, running a little later than we had expected, but I'd like to address an issue which is somewhat, I think, pretty common, which comes up in a lot of areas of halacha, and it certainly pertains to a kindness. And that is the situation when a person changes time zones on the same day, which means that for our purposes, on today, if a person were to get on a plane and fly east, let's say fly to Europe, so the kindness would end earlier than it would if he stayed here, because of the fact that the further east you fly, the sun will set earlier. And therefore, the question is, in such a situation, can a person end the kindness at the place where he is, or does he have to calculate the kindness from the place that he left? The truth of the matter is that this question is even in the same time zone. If a person were to go today to fly up to New York, so at this time of the year, the Zman in New York is about an hour earlier than it is here, and the Shkia, and in turn the Tetzachavim, is earlier, and therefore if a person left now, right after the Shir, and went up to New York, then, which you might want to do depending on the outcome of the shir, so then you might end up fasting an hour less, right? And of course, the reverse would also be true. If a person flew from Miami, from New York here, so then, much to that person's surprise, they would find that when they came here, the fast is not yet over, it's still daylight. Of course, this question becomes even greater when a person takes longer trips. And this would pertain not necessarily on a day like today, which is not the full day fast, and it's not such a long fast, but if we go further towards the summer, where a person, let's say, to fly from Israel to New York on Tisha B'Av, so it would come out that the fast from when they started fasting in Israel, the 24-25 hour fast of Tisha B'Av would end, and it would, when they landed in New York or in Miami, they would still have to fast an additional 7 hours, or perhaps they would. And taking the case to a greater extreme, if a person flew from Eretz Yisrael to Los Angeles on Tisha B'Av, so then there is the potential, you're looking at the question of having to fast an additional 10 hours of what you would have had to fast if you would have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. And this would also apply in Shabbat Sabbath, which is not a full day, it's not a 24-hour fast, but it's also a very long fast that ends late in the, you know, ends 8:30, or approximately 8:30, 9 p.m. Again, a person might have the question that when they arrive, they would have to fast longer. Conversely, if a person got on a plane from here on Tisha B'Av and flew to Eretz Yisrael, the fast potentially would be over later. And they would arrive in Eretz Yisrael, and while on their American, if they have not yet changed the time on their American watches, so then from the American time it would still be Tisha B'Av. But when they arrive in Eretz Yisrael, it may already be nighttime, or maybe close to nighttime. So the question is, what do we do in all of these situations? And we'll see, obviously, that the question applies both to Kula and Mechumra. It applies to a person flying east. It would be a Shaila, it would be a question of a Kula, because the fast would end earlier. A person flying west, the fast might have to end for that person later. So that would be the Mechumra. So we'll see. This is what I would like to discuss today. But we'll see also that this pertains not only to Tanaisim, but this also applies to other areas of Halacha as well. And the truth of the matter is that really it's essentially a modern day Shiloh because of the fact that the airplane travel is relatively recent development. But we do find, amazingly enough, we do find a tshuva written on this general topic in the Radvaz, in the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, which is on the handout, it's on the second page, on the second page, we have a tshuva that was written by the Radbaz. You may recall we've mentioned the Radbaz a number of times, and most recently we mentioned the Radbaz when we spoke about Hoyfer Kedusha. You may recall the Radbaz was the Rav of Egypt. He was the Rav, he was from the Gedolei Achronim, who lived in the 16th century. The Radbaz, among other things, is famous for reinstituting Chazaras HaShatz after the Rambam had done away with it, but the Radbaz is the one who reinstituted it. From the Gedolei Achronim, he was the Rebbe of, among other people, the Arizal, a very, very respected person. So he is the first source, or the earliest source that we have, that discusses the whole issue of changing times, of the fact that the times that we have for the observances of the various Shabbos and the Yom Tovim is not universal in Klal Yisrael. We all know that the chaver here, the boys here in our Beis Medrash, know that if they want to call their parents to wish them a good Shabbos, that they have to make sure to call early in the day on Friday, because if they call after 4 o'clock or 4:15, it's going to be Shabbos in New York. And yet here we are in the same time zone. And at 4:15, 4:30, a person can do all the malachas they want, and there's no problem. So the Radbaz was asked, is there any issue with that? Is there any, you know, we're all used to it by now, but when you first encounter this, it's a little bit uncomfortable. You know, Shabbos is over by us last night, but if you wanted to call someone in Denver or California, you would have to wait because it's still Shabbos there. So how do we deal with that? So the Radbaz says, he says that there is no question in his mind that Shabbos goes by wherever you are. He says Shabbos was given to every person, no matter where in the world that person is, and therefore it could be that in one place it's Shabbos and the next place it's not Shabbos, and there is no issue with that. Shabbos begins and ends in the place that you are. And as proof of this, he cites the Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Tuf Yud Ches, which is the Gemara which was printed here on the side B of the first sheet, which says as follows. There is a very short piece of Gemara, the only Gemara in the Shas, which speaks about anything having to do with change of times. And the Gemara we have in marked off 2 lines from the bottom on Daf Tuf Yud Ches in Amid Beis in Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Ba'amar Rav Yossi." Rav Yossi said, "Yehei chelki mimachnise Shabbos b'tzeria u'mimotzie Shabbos b'tzipori." Rav Yossi says, "I wish that my chelek, that my lot, my—I guess he means my lot in the Olam Haba, should be with those who begin Shabbos in Tveria and end Shabbos in Tzipori." Now, what does this mean? So, if you're familiar with the geography of Eretz Yisrael, Tveria is in the east, the eastern coast, I guess we would say, of Eretz Yisrael. Tzipori, which today they have identified even where it is, Tzipori is somewhat west of that. However, Tzipori is within striking distance. It's within the Tchum of Tveria. So Rav Yossi was saying, now what it sounds like, it's a little unclear what he means when he said this, but what it sounds like he was saying was that my chelek, my Olam Haba, I wish that I could be, or I strive to be on the madrega of the people who begin Shabbos when it's Shabbos in Tveria and end Shabbos when it's Shabbos is over in Tzipori. Meaning that since Tveria is in the east, so Shabbos will begin earlier. Tzipori is somewhat west, so therefore Shabbos will end a little bit later. So it sounds, I guess the first glance look at this Gemara would say that the what he was saying was that I strive to be from the people who prolong Shabbos, that we don't rush to get out of Shabbos, but rather from Shabbos, we start Shabbos when it starts in Tveria, and we end Shabbos when it ends in Tzipori. That, I guess, would be the simplest job. But we have on the side of the Gemara, which unfortunately was left off of this handout, in the Gilyan HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eiger brings from a tshuva from the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash was one of the early Rishonim, and the Rimi Gash says, Pshat in this Gemara means not just a person who sits in his house and begins Shabbos when it's Shabbos in Tveria and ends Shabbos when it's Shabbos in Tzipori. But rather, what the Gemara was saying was, it's referring to a person who walks, who travels on Shabbos from Tveria to Tzipori. In other words, not the way we explained it. The way we explained it was, he was saying, I'd like to prolong Shabbos. Says the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in the name of the Rinnegash, that in reality what he meant was that since Tzipori is within the Tchum of, it's within the Tchum Shabbos of Tveria, and Lamaisa Shabbos ends later in Tzipori than in Tveria, so there would be people who would walk on Shabbos from Tveria to Tzipori, and therefore by doing that they would end up in a place where Shabbos ended later than it would have ended had they stayed home. So to that, Rabbi Yossi was saying that I would like to be, my lot should be like one of those people. I have tremendous respect, I have tremendous envy for those people, because those people who go from Tveria to Tzipori, says the Rinnegash, have to keep Shabbos longer. They have to keep Shabbos longer because since they are in a place which is farther west, and Shabbos ends later, Mela, they have prolonged the Shabbos by walking to this farther point, this place, this point which is farther west. This is the way the Radvaz, this interpretation of the Rinnegash is accepted by the Radvaz, even though he doesn't spell it out by name, but it's apparent, if one reads the Tshuva, it's apparent that that's what he's learning. And therefore he says that based on this, we see an interesting thing. He said, based on this, it wasn't, according to the simple pshat, what was being said here was that, you know, I'd like to end Shabbos later. So I'm, even though I live in Tveria, let's say, but I'm going to arbitrarily end Shabbos later, like the time in Tzipori, because I want to extend Shabbos. That, I guess, would be the simple pshat. But says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that's not the correct pshat in this Gemara. The Rinnegash is telling us that what he meant to say was that people travel from Tveria to Tzipori, and by doing that, they prolong their Shabbos. Because aside from whatever purpose they're doing in walking there, but it comes out that now they have to keep Shabbos longer. So that if Shabbos would have ended in Tveria, let's just say, at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m., now that they've gone to Tzipori, Shabbos ends at 6:10, because it's a little bit west. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi was saying, Yehei Shalki, I would like to be, my lot should be like a lot of those people. Says the Radbaz, from this you see that the halachas governing when a day begins and ends depends on where you are when it ends. Even if it's not where you were when it started, and even if it's not the place that you live. Because he is understanding that what Rabbi Yossi was saying was the people who live in Tveria walk to Tzipori, and yet they're bound to keep Shabbos in Tzipori. So therefore you see that Shabbos, even though it began for them at an earlier point, and therefore should end for them at an earlier point, the 25 hours of Shabbos should end at an earlier point, nevertheless, since they have traveled to a different location, they are bound by the laws of that location. So says the Radbaz, this is the way he understands the Gemara, and his application to this is that it would work not only by a person who goes from Tveria to Tzipori, but it would also go in the reverse, by a person who went from Tzipori to Tveria, where in his town Shabbos is first over at 6:10, but the place that he's going on Shabbos ends at 6 o'clock, it would end there at 6, it would end for him at 6 o'clock, even though in his place it's still Shabbos, even though his family is still observing Shabbos, nevertheless, in the place that he is, Shabbos is over, and that's what we go by. This is the psak of the Radbaz. This is a widely quoted psak. For the record, not everybody agrees in the interpretation of this lakula. There is we have in the sefer from the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who is the Rav of Yerushalayim, years ago, that he said that he does not understand how one could interpret it. He says in the Gemara, all you see is that Reb Yossi said that you have to keep Shabbos longer if you end Shabbos in Tzipori. But who's to say that if you went in the other direction, you could end Shabbos earlier, like it is in Tveria? Perhaps the obligation to keep Shabbos is to keep Shabbos for a full day, and therefore one who ends up in a destination where it's not yet for him a full day would not be allowed to end Shabbos. In other words, it's true that you go by the place from the Gemara. The Radbaz is correct in showing from this Gemara that you go by the place that you end up. However, Svipeta Frank suggests that maybe that's only in conjunction with the fact that you've observed the full day of Shabbos. So therefore, if you're going west, you already observed the full day of Shabbos, so therefore it's just the Chumrah. That you have to do. But if you're going east, where you're going to end Shabbos earlier than you would have, Sefer Tzipeta Frank, who says you see that from this Gemara? However, that question notwithstanding, most of the poskim, in fact, just about everybody else in the poskim, does not make this distinction and understands this halacha to be true both ways, and therefore the accepted practice is that the day ends in the place where a person ends up despite where a person began. And this has several ramifications. So for one, not just the question of Shabbos, not just the question of Tanaisim, but one area in halacha where this is widely quoted is we have the halacha and the Hilchos Nida that a woman who becomes a Nida has to observe the Shiva Nekiyim, has to observe 7 clean days before immersing in a mikvah. So now the question comes up, well, what happens if you live in Miami and you began counting the 7 clean days in Miami, and during that week you fly to Eretz Yisrael? So it comes out that when the person arrives in Eretz Yisrael, they are 7 hours short of the 7 full days. So is that good enough, or do we say you have to wait till when it would be 7 full days in the Miami time? So this we have, the halachas paskin, we find this in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, it's not on the sheet, I don't believe, but in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak from Dayan Weiss, it's widely accepted that the halacha is based on this Radbaz, that we would go also Lukula. That in that situation, a person could say, well, the day is over in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that's it. This is where I am. It's the end of the day. So even though I didn't have 7 full 24-hour days, nevertheless, it doesn't matter because my day ends right here, and that's good enough. The same application is made when it comes to the halachas of Sfiras Omer. Another question which would come up, this is even without the dateline, everyone talks about what happens if you go over the dateline, that's the famous question, but without that, one could ask, you know, if you're flying again, a person flies to Eretz Yisrael during the Sfira, so can you count the Sfira? Can you count the Sfira when you get there? After all, you have not had, we know there's a halacha that has to be Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, it has to be full, complete days. So the argument could be made that one of your days wasn't full, one of your days wasn't complete, because when you arrived in Eretz Yisrael that day, from the time you counted Sfira, from the time that day began, when you started out in Miami, it was only a 17-hour day. Nevertheless, again, based on this Radbaz, the halacha is widely accepted. Many people say, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, everybody says this, that a person flying to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Sfira has no problem to count the Sfira's Omer the next day, even at the beginning of the night in Eretz Yisrael, he arrives and right away goes to a Meiruv, and it's the beginning of the night, he can count Sfira and say the Sfira for the next day, because where he is determines the halacha. And it seems to us that it's mistaken to be this way, but you know, a further proof could be just from Maisim B'chol Yom, because we all know the halacha that when a boy turns 13, so he's bar mitzvah, and once he's bar mitzvah, so he's obligated in mitzvahs. So when does he turn 13? At the end of 13 full years, which means that he acts as a bar mitzvah, he acts as a gadol at the beginning of his 14th year, as soon as the Tzeis B'chavim comes on his birthday, so that is the beginning of the 14th year of his life. From that point, he has completed 13 years, at that point he's a gadol. We have never ever seen, you could call any rub you want, anybody ask or anybody make an issue of, with a bar mitzvah boy and say to him, you know, tell me, where were you born? Is it really 13 years? Maybe you were born in a different time zone. Maybe you were born in, let's say a boy is being bar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. At common practice, people celebrate bar mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So you say, well, wait a second, you don't come from here, you come from there. It's not 13 full years for you yet, because your 13th year is still going on. Because you skipped 7 hours, so to speak, right? You lost 7 hours when you went west. Right, this Shaila we've never heard, and the reason for this is because it's pushing to everybody that you go by where you end up, and we don't ask any questions, and this again is all based on the Radbaz, that the day, the halakhic day, goes by a person's chiyuv and halakha. A person's chiyuv and halakha goes by where they are. It doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter even where you started that day, where you are now is the halakha. Based on this, with this in mind, so we have the, as it pertains to a kindness, so we have the psak, which is on the first sheet, the first side of the first sheet, in the Shuvah, so the Ibris Moshe, so Moshe Feinstein was asked a question as it pertains to Kanesim, and he said that, in his opinion, he said that we don't really have Makoros about this. I don't know, he didn't refer to the Radbaz. But nevertheless, Rav Moshe said that it's Pashut, Bein L'Kula, Bein L'Chumra, a person has to fast in the end of the Tainus goes by the place where the person is. Wherever you are when the fast ends, that's when it's over. And therefore, again, if a person went today to New York, you can still do it, right? You'll save yourself an hour from the Tainus. If it's worth it to you, you could end the Tainus an hour earlier. In the reverse, if a person came here, they would have to fast an hour later. So this is the halacha that we have, certainly when we're dealing with the kula, that the Ramesh is saying, Ben Kula, Ben Kumra. But all the examples that we gave were examples of kula, with the bar mitzvah, with the shivanakim, with the sphere. These are all examples of kula. The question is, what do we do with chumra? In other words, as we mentioned at the beginning, it's not such a simple thing. Sometimes people have to fly on Tisha B'Av. Sometimes people, and my own family, I had my personal experience, and my mother, Shlomo Bracha, passed away on the sixth day of Av, and was buried in Eretz Yisrael on the seventh day of Av. And we had the Shiloh, there were family members who accept Shiva in New York at that time, and the question was, people had to fly, they wanted to sit Shiva together as a family, and the first flight out that they could get was on Tisha B'Av. The first flight out that they could get was on Tisha B'Av. I guess there were available seats then, because, you know, maybe the other days were busier, but that was the day people flew. And here it's the summer, and if you envision that a person in New York on Tisha B'Av, the Tainus doesn't end probably till 9 o'clock at night. And here, you've already fasted 24, 25 hours. You land in New York, let's say noontime or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You've already fasted a full day of Tisha B'Av because the fast started in Eretz Yisrael in their time 24 hours ago. And now, you're being told you have to fast another 7 hours. So is there any tzad hetzer? Is that what you have to do? Or Moshe says, Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. This is a difficult chumra. This is a very difficult chumra. A person going to Los Angeles would have to fast an additional 10 hours. A person going to Hawaii would have to fast an additional 13 hours. Okay? Somebody lived there, think about that. That's no simple thing. That's more than a day and a half. That's an incredible chumra to say that a person has to do such a thing. So is it, L'maisa, or Moshe does not speak specifically about the example of Tisha B'Av, he's saying about Tanesim in general, but if we just in our mind's eye envision what this would mean, this is a very, very severe halacha to impose. So the question is there any tzad hetzer for such a thing? So we have here a remarkable psak, which is very controversial, but it's quoted in the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, again the Sefer of Tzvi Pesach Frank. This part was actually written by one of his grandchildren, This is on the first sheet, side B. And in this Sefer, it's not an original Pesach, but rather he's quoting from the Sefer Nachal Eshkol. The Sefer Nachal Eshkol is a parish on the Sefer Eshkol. Sefer Eshkol is written by one of the Rishonim. The Nachal Eshkol was written by a rabbi in Europe in the 19th century. And he says the following incredible thing. Listen to this. He says on the third line from the top, this is on the bottom section of the first page on the base. Okay, so he says as follows. He says, Shenisha, he brings there from the Nachal Eshkol. The Nachal Eshkol was told and was asked by the Rav of Stockholm, Sweden. Stockholm, Sweden is a place that I've never been to, but apparently due to its location, in the summertime, the Shkia Sachama is not until very late in the night. The Shkia Sachama could be close to midnight. And the question was asked on Shavuos V'Tammuz, not even Tisha B'Av. The question was this: Shavuos V'Tammuz is a summer fast, and it's extremely long. And in Stockholm, Sweden, the question was there, they have to fast till midnight. Do you have to do that? So listen to this. So the Rav of Stockholm reported to the Nachal Eshkol, and he said, we have a minute that we end the fast 9:30 at night, even though it's still broad daylight. This is our minute. We end the fast. He says, this is minute Stockholm. Okay, I don't know if that has any bearing on any of us, but in case you were wondering, he said the minute in Stockholm is that they end Kanesim at 9, that they end the Shavuos V'Tammuz, and presumably Tisha B'Av as well, 9:30 at night. You walk outside, the sun is still out, people are still going about their business, I don't know how they handle it exactly, the stores are still open, but nevertheless, the Tainus is over. Why is that? So he said an amazing thing. He said that we have a Masara like this. This is the Masara. What's it based on? So he says it's based on the following logic. It's based on the fact that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when did the Tanaisim go into effect? So the Tanaisim, including the one that we're fasting today, went into effect after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So he said at that time they had a Kabbalah that there were no Jews in Sweden. And not just that, but there were no Jews living that far north anywhere in the world. And therefore, he said that they made a hashara that because there were no Jews at that time that were living there, so they felt that their observance of the Tainus, should be parallel to where the Jews in the rest of the world fast. Because he claims that the Jews of originally, the Gemara says in Tainus, that the Tanaisim originally were accepted by the Jewish people and then it became a chiv. But originally it was accepted. It was totally an acceptance. He says that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, nobody accepted to fast longer than this time. Because at 9:30 p.m. in Stockholm, the fast is over for Jews everywhere else in the world. This is the calculation that they made. Anywhere that Jews were at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, by that time of the night the fast is over, and therefore, since it's so difficult to fast so late into the night, therefore, the fast is over. This is the way they looked at it. This is their approach, that it's over. But at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they never agreed to fast longer than this. They never agreed that by this point, everybody, wherever Jews lived at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Tainus was over, and that's it. And therefore, this is the way they handle it. They don't tell Jews to fast until midnight. They end the fast 9:30, even though it's broad daylight. With this in mind, So Yom Kippur apparently is different. He's talking about the Tanais. He's not talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not totally an acceptance. Yom Kippur is the din of the Torah that you have to fast me'erev ad erev. The Torah says me'erev ad erev tishbis u'shabbat, and you have to fast Tisha B'Av from night to night. So therefore, it doesn't matter when it doesn't matter where anybody was at any given time. But here, where he says that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, nobody lived there. Therefore, they never accepted past it. With this in mind, the Nachal Eshkol, now this already is a great chiddush, and as we'll see, controversial, right? But with this in mind, the Nachal Eshkol said, well, we could extend this logic and say that when they accepted to fast on Shavuos V'Tammuz, so when they accepted to fast on Tisha B'Av, Nobody ever accepted the fast more than a day. The Tainus of Tisha B'Av was made to be 24 hours. We extended because of the Ben Hashmoshes consideration, but nobody ever planned to fast more than a day, and therefore the Nachal Eshkol considers, based on this, that we could tell a person who is flying east, let's say from Eretz Yisrael, even from Europe, to the United States, if they land in America on Tisha B'Av when at a time that the fast has already ended in their point of origin, the Nachal Eshkol wanted to suggest that perhaps, he doesn't say clearly, but he wanted to say that perhaps there's room here to be mekel. With this logic of what he had heard from the Rav of Stockholm. Now, if you accept this psak, you have to understand that the ramification of this would be that the time, if we go with this logic, the timeness is over. The timeness is over. There's no, it's not a question of that due to considerations of health or due consideration. If you're going to go with the logic that after 24 hours, that's it, nobody ever said you should fast longer than this. So it would come out that if a person landed, on Tisha B'Av in Miami or in New York or anywhere, let's say in the East Coast, and you say, well, 7 hours till the fast is over, they could sit down, break their fast, and eat whatever they want. It's not a question, you don't have to be makbid. We have a halacha, for example, that on a timeless, let's say a day like today, a person who cannot fast still should not go ahead and eat to their heart's content. A person who doesn't fast should still try to observe this, the truth of some sofer that says that on a kindness, a person, even one who eats, should try to maintain the spirit of the kindness, and therefore only eat what you need to eat. It's not a day to go to a restaurant. It's not a day to go to one of these all-you-can-eat buffets. Right? If you're not fasting on this day, you still have to preserve the spirit of the kindness. But if you go with an Nachal Eshkol, it would come out that if you landed in Miami on Tisha B'Av at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you could go, I don't know where you'd find the restaurant open, but you could go to all you can eat, and no problem, because the timeness is over. This is what he said. And in fact, in the situation in my life where this came up, there was a Rav who actually put this psak l'maaseh. However, the reality is that most people, the consensus of the poskim is not this way, and this can be seen in the on the second sheet side B. We have from the Bosner Tzvi Shevet Halevi and one of the contemporary poskim should be well known, B'nai Brak, and he says that he quotes the Nachal Eshkol's psak, and he says that he doesn't agree with it. He says he has a very hard time accepting this. Why? Because the fact of the matter is that the Gemara tells us, and this was really the very first Maramakam, the Gemara tells us the famous klal that kol tainis shalosh shoko l'kama rab shmei tainis. Right? The Gemara in Tainis Yudei says that any fast day that does not make it to the night is not a fast. A fast day in halacha must make it to the night time. So says the Shevet Halevi, says Rav Bosner, so on the one hand, you could say, let's even say that at the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash, nobody fasted longer than that. So Nachal Eshkol wants to say, so therefore they never accepted to fast longer. But on the other hand, everybody accepted this halacha, which is on the first sheet, right, the Gemara in Tainis, which says that any fast which does not make it till the night is not a fast. So they probably accepted that also. In other words, when they accepted the Tanaisim, how do you know what they accepted and what they didn't accept? One of the basic Kabbalists, the most basic din in a Tainis, is that a Tainis has to go till the night. It's not good enough for a person this afternoon to say, well, maybe till 3 o'clock, I did great. This is a big serious nefesh, that's it, now I'm eating. Right? Without a health concern, there's no effort for that, because the Tainis must go through the night, says Rav Bosner. So if that's the case, how do you know? If they accepted the Tainis, they probably accepted on those terms. How does anybody know? In other words, it seems like they have no Mesorah, there were no Jews in Stockholm at that time. So for us to assume that when they made the Tanaisim, They made it with certain understanding. How do you know which took priority over which? Since we have this basic halacha that a kindness must make it till the night, says Rav Avinu. So who says that's probably what they accepted also? Even when the Jewish people accepted to fast, inasmuch as nobody ended a fast later than 9:30 at night, but on the other hand, everybody accepted to go by the rules of a kindness, which says that you have to fast till it's dark. So he says he's he finds it very questionable. He says he doesn't understand how they know this. How could they be convinced this is true? That if they had a direct Masara going back to the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that would be one thing, but apparently the Rav in Stockholm did not claim that. So therefore, Rav Ozner says, as a practical matter, he doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand, he says, because how is anyone, it's purely speculation, it's total conjecture to start to speculate what people accepted and what they didn't. The most basic din in the kindness, probably they did accept. So to say they didn't accept that because nobody was in the world, that's speculative. We need a raya, and he says we don't have a raya. So we're back to the bad news. However, the Shevet HaLevi Rav Ozner says that there is room for potentially to be maker. And he says like this. He brings two possible ways that one could be maker. One of them helps a little, the other could help a lot. The first one is, and again we have on the beginning of the sheet, the Gemara says on the sheet side, first sheet side one, the Gemara in Tainus Yud Bey says, Amra Chisla Kol Tainus Shul Shokol Of Cham Alab Shmei Tainus. That any fast day in which it did not reach the night time, it's not a fast. If you don't fast till the night, it's not a fast. Now you'll notice that the words in the Gemara are Shalosh Shokol Of Cham. Shalosh Shokol Of Cham literally translated means the sun did not set. On this point, there is a machlokas in Rishonim, what exactly that means. So the accepted shita, or shitos, which is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, is that even though the Gemara says shaka hachama, but like as is the case in many places in the Gemara, when the Gemara says shkias hachama, they mean the beginning of the night, what we would refer to as tetzav hachavim. And therefore, a kindness is held until tetzav hachavim. Right? Tonight, the fast is going to end. It's not enough to fast till the Shkia. The Shkia today, I believe, is 5:38. However, the Taneh, whatever time was announced, the various opinions, when it's Tetzav Chavim, but obviously in every shul they announce a later time to the end of the fast. Because we hold by halacha that a fast, that when the Gemara says Shalosh Shachatam, it means it has to go till the night. However, this is not Muslim by everybody. And there are shittas and rishonim that hold that the Gemara means till the sunset, that a fast would end at the sunset. So says Rav Ozner that even though we don't hold this to be the halacha, we hold the shita that it says the chavim. But since there are those who say that it means the shkias hachama literally, and here it's a shasat chak for a person to fast, a person living in Los Angeles is faced with the prospect of having to fast an additional 10 hours on Tisha B'Av. So he says, so for starters, he says, it's pushed in his opinion that we could, that person could be told, you don't have to fast till the Tisha B'Av, you could end the fast at the Shkir. Now that's not a great saving, okay? That's not anything to write home about, right? We're not going to stop the presses to that side. But at least, it's something. It's a start. Right, that's what we say. It's a start. So we knocked off 30, 40, 50, 72, depending on who you go by. Right, we knocked off at least some time from the time. But then he goes further. And he says, if you look towards the end of the tshuva, after he has issue with what the Nachal Eshkol says, he says, but it seems to me that there are other considerations that can come into play here. And he says, just like we know that in any kindness there's a halacha that a person who's having difficulty fasting, if a person can't fast, they can't take the kindness. Not just because they're hungry. Everybody gets hungry or thirsty at a kindness at some point. But a person is feeling weak on a kindness, so by the Taneisim, the Midrabanan, certainly by Sarabateves and Shavas Vatamas and Song Gedalia and Taneis Esther, right, we're certainly Mako, even Tisha B'Av is also the Rabban, Tisha B'Av a little more Machmer, but even there, pretty much, there's a lot of room to be Mako. So he says that if one was facing the prospect of having to fast so much longer, and a person said, I can't, I just can't, It's Tisha B'Av. I start the hard day to begin with. I just got off a plane. I already fasted 24, 25 hours. What do you want from me? I have to go home to LA another 10 hours. A day and a half. Almost a day and a half. So Rav Ozner says that if the person is feeling weak because of this, then there's room to be made like there would be on any other kindness. It sounds like he's willing to be a little bit more flexible. It sounds a little bit like, you know, he feels that maybe there is the case to be made that you could be more makel, like the Nachal Eshkol said. But he, even though he doesn't accept the Nachal Eshkol in principle, he says, but it could be that, he says that we could be lenient based on the fact that it's easy, that it could be difficult for a person to fast. And then he says, in certain situations, telling a person to fast that long could be a suffix to Kuluch Nefesh. You're telling a person to fast a day and a half straight, a lot of people can't handle that. A lot of that could be dangerous. That could be dangerous for a person. So therefore he says that in his opinion, there's room to be makel under those circumstances. Meaning that all things being equal, if a person is in good health and says, I could do it, so the fact that it's simply the fact that it's difficult would not be a hetzer. That he would agree, that's not a hetzer, because we have to go, like Rav Moshe said, right, we always end the day by where you are, and the Gemara says that a kindness has to go till the night, and therefore, the etzem, a person should fast that long. But if it's going to be difficult, a person's going to feel weak, and one could see how this could happen, there's definitely room to be makel, and he says certainly if the person was not in the best of health to begin with, where this could be, even the person fast Hanesim over here, it could be a Pekuch Nefesh, he tells that fast a day and a half, or even here in Miami, fast another 7 hours, that's a very long time. So he says that there would be room to be makel. He does not say it as an absolute across the board stop. This would obviously be dealt with. The person would be best advised to call a rav, and on a case by case basis, it could be that the teirim are given out in such a situation. However, the biggest point that comes out of this is that if a person was given a hetzer to break the fast, if you're relying on the Shevet HaLevi's hetzer, you could only eat what you need to keep yourself going, and you cannot indulge in anything more. If one went by the Nachal Eshkol pesach, according to the Nachal Eshkol, in Stockholm at 9:30 at night, Tisha B'Av is over. That's it. You can go eat the 5-course meal, no problem. It's over. Whereas if you ask the Shevet HaLevi, he would say that even in a place like that, at 9:30 at night, the fast is not over, right? The fast may not be over till midnight, or I don't know, it could be even later, when the sun goes down in certain places. But the fact that a person coming east, where you would have to fast many hours, could have a hetzer to break the fast, but would have to eat only what's necessary. It doesn't mean you have to eat like people who eat on Yom Kippur, by the way. It doesn't mean that you have to do Pachas Mikashir. That's not what we're saying. But the Chassam Sofer says that even a person who eats on a Tainus should eat with restraint, should only eat the basic foods, should not go and say that for me this is like every other day. And therefore, according to the Shevet HaLevi's Pesach, it would come out that a person, even who received such a heter, could not say Tisha B'Av is over for him, and therefore the other chumras of Tisha B'Av, a person would still have to observe. For example, not wearing shoes, a person should still continue not to wear shoes even until later, until the late point that Tisha B'Av is over. This is, in a nutshell, just to summarize, the basic yisod that we come out with is that in halacha we always go by where you are. That's the Radbaz, that is the accepted practice in all shilas pertaining to time. Where you are is what determines the halacha. I was asked here an interesting thing. There was a fellow, this was brought to my attention, there was somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael who was here in Miami visiting relatives over Hanukkah, and they had the shiloh, which we discussed last year, that they had to travel. They were flying back to Eretz Yisrael. They were going to be leaving from Miami before this Zman HaBlokas Meiris. They were going to be on the flight the whole night overnight, and by the time they arrived in the next day, it would be already the next day in Eretz Yisrael. They would miss a night of lighting Hanukkah candles. Alright, so we discussed, you may recall, we discussed this last year, the Pesach of the Marsham, that if you pay for a seat on a plane, it could be considered your bias. But nevertheless, as a practical matter, it's impossible to light a menorah on an airplane. So the question, but this fellow had the following question. This fellow said that I could get someone, I could make a shliach to light candles for me in my house, in my apartment in Yerushalayim. So, should he do that? And if you make a shliach to light the Hanukkah candles for you, you could do that all the time. Now here, his question is that he wants to call someone in Eretz Yisrael and say that light the Hanukkah candles for me. He feels bad that he's going to miss a night of Hanukkah. He's going to miss a night, right? And if he goes on the plane, he missed a night. So he wants to say that by a shliach to light for him, and a shliach to light him with a brother, and a shliach to light for him. So the question is, can you do that? What's the shaila? The shaila is, because when they're lighting the candles in Eretz Yisrael, it's not this man of Lachas Neiris in Miami, right? It's the middle of the day over. No one's going to go to his place at 3 o'clock in the morning. He'll get a shliach to come 8 o'clock at night to light the menorah for him. Well, let's even say, right, 8 o'clock at night is 1 o'clock in the afternoon over here, so he's here now. So is that this man of Lachas Neiris? So it would seem, I think it's Pashas, that the halacha would go by where you are, and therefore, now's not the time. It's not that you can't say light in Yerushalayim. You're not in Yerushalayim. You're here. Maybe there's a different consideration of Peshad when it comes to Hanukkah, but that wasn't the question. He wanted to know if he could be Yotzei, the lighting of that night. I believe it's Pashas that the halacha always goes by where you are, as for all areas of halacha. Even if you're skipping hours by flying west, or if you're gaining back time by flying east, the halacha of the etzem always goes, the day is always calculated by where you are, not where you come from, not where you started from. That is the halacha, and as it pertains to a kindness in cases of a person flying east and there's great difficulty involved, one should ask the Rav, and there is the potential to be made.